Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 211, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things, the whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. Psalter 211, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
See, O God, through
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, the third chapter. Habakkuk, chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, in wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. And His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand, and there was the hiding of His power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice, and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outshorn, who has undergone a procedure again in this past week, and also Mr. Jan Dunsbergen from the Picture Butte congregation, who is very low. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Thou bringest us in this morning on Thy day to Thy house, a day we have read out of Thy law, which Thou hast hallowed, a Sabbath day, a day of rest from all the labors of our hands in this life. But Lord, we have by nature a careless heart, and then we are settled upon our lees, and we rest in a false foundation for that never-ending eternity. Lord, we need that Thou would give us in the first place a day of unrest. Oh, that Thou in this day may stir us up, when we have never in our life come before Thy countenance in truth, been brought before Thy judgment seat, when we have never in our life had that impression of who that Thou art and who and what we are. Oh, we have read it out of Thy law. Thou art a jealous God. And Lord, then it is a wonder that we are still in the land of the living, because we do not honor Thee. Oh, we serve the idols of the world. Our hearts cleave to the flesh, to all that is here below. And we make it a God. We bow down thereto, and Thou still bearest with us. Though Thou art a jealous God, oh, that jealousy that shall burn with fire against the wicked in that great day of days. Lord, wilt Thou give us a deep impression of Thy holiness and of Thy right upon us as Thy creatures, and what we owe to Thee by virtue of our creation, which was very good in Thine eyes. Oh, give us to bow before Thee. Oh, give us a heart to acknowledge our guilt, our sin, that we may mourn therefore, that we may be brought to a true confession. Lord, do instruct us. We are of yesterday and we know nothing. We are fallen in our father Adam, so far away from Thee, but Thou givest us a Sabbath day. Oh, Thou givest to us, Lord, that we may hear, that we may proclaim Thy word, that we may speak of that which Thou hast done for the redemption of Thy church, that Thou hast sent a mediator, that Thou hast sent a Savior into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, we are lost with our children by nature. Oh, that thou mayst seek us out as that great shepherd, when we will never seek thee out. But oh, begin thou this day from heaven thy dwelling place, and allow us not to continue to work out our own destruction. Oh, remember thy people. Lord, bless them this day. It is thy Hephzibah. It is thy people. Oh, thou hast given them a new life. Thou hast given them that hunger and that thirst that belongs to that life. Oh, feed them also to maintain that life. Oh, that thou may instruct them in the way, that they may also learn more and more what lies within, and that blessed necessity, and that blessed preciousness, and also the blessed suitability of thine only begotten Son. Oh, that he may be seen by them, that thou may reveal thyself to them, to the poor and to the needy, as he that is altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. Lord, wilt thou look through the windows when thou hidest thyself behind our wall? And wilt thou give thy children a little token in all the warfare? Teach their fingers to fight and their hands to war. Look upon us as a congregation. Lord, be with all the afflicted ones. Remember that young child who received that procedure once again. Lord, thou hast made it well again, thus far through many concerns. Oh, that thou may strengthen, that thou may bless all that takes place from time to time. And oh, give to the parents and to the family a heart to acknowledge thee. Oh, give a new heart unto that child. And all our children, Lord, remember them in the days of their youth. Oh, convert them, Lord. We cannot convert them. And the devil is so strong, and he deceives as an angel of light. We cannot keep them one moment. Lord, they are in thy hand. Oh, we lay them before thee in this morning. Could it please thee to look on them and to give them that new life in the days of their youth? Remember the school principal, teachers, and all that labor therein. Strengthen them in all that work, and bless those labors in mercy. Go with all those that are weak and afflicted in the body. Many have to experience something of, in a special way, of what thou hast spoken in our deep fall. Then we have to go through a life of trouble and sorrow. Strengthen and cause all afflictions to redound to thy glory. Remember the widows, widowers and orphans, and all the needs and the cares of this life. Be on the right and on the left, and all those that have needs that are known unto thee. Lord, go before all those that will bring thy word this day. In thy name, in truth and in sincerity, O those whom thou hast called, those whom thou hast sent forth, Lord, then it is a work that is heavier than their shoulders can bear. But thou hast promised them, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lord, may it be our experience this day and in the day of tomorrow, that thou may help in all these ways, and wilt thou give that thy word, which may be brought when thou wilt give it, may in these days be used by thee, O, to bring forth life from the dead, out of nature's darkness, into thy marvelous light. Then there shall be fruit. Lord, thy name would be glorified. It would be magnified, beginning here below, and in perfection to that never-ending eternity. All we beseech thee, gladden us with thy deeds. Forgive and take away all that is sinful, and remember us for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 92, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be. Thy mighty shield protect my life, thy spear confront the enemy. Amid the conflict, O my Lord, thy precious promise let me hear, thy faithful, reassuring word. I am thy Savior, do not fear. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 92. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Who, congregation, has spoken those words? That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To whom? That was to that father of that lunatic boy. If thou canst believe, that man did not find that so easy as it often seems in the day in which we live. But to him that was such a great struggle, what was that doubt that lay in the heart of that man? What was the question that was in his heart? We can hear what that question is when he asked the Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything, then have mercy upon us and help us. If thou canst do anything, over the power of Christ, why was that so difficult for that man to believe? Is he not the Christ? Is he not the Son of God? Is he not almighty? Is he not all-powerful? It was, congregation, one thing for that multitude to believe in the power of the Lord Jesus. But it was another thing for that man. And why was it another thing for this man? Because this man was not a stranger of the power of the devil. No, that was a knowledge, that was an experience that was already over so many years. Years in which the devil has sought every day to slay his son, to cast him into the fire, to cast him into the water. And then that man, he had to struggle with this and had to experience how helpless that he was against that power of the devil every single day again. And then that man, he has brought his son to the disciples. And he has asked the disciples if he may cast him out. And they could not. They could not. Though they have spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And now the Lord Jesus comes. And the Lord Jesus says, if thou canst believe. Oh, then we understand something of the struggle of that man. Oh, is it really possible? Can the Lord Jesus really do it? Is he really stronger than that devil? Than that power that that man has had to experience over all that time? Oh, there is a people who certainly cannot condemn this man. And it is a wonder if they may come even so far as that man to say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When we are strangers to the power of Satan, oh, then to believe is easy. But when we know that strength, then it is different. And that is the reason that the Lord, He is giving help unto His own afflicted and poor people. And that is the subject of our text for this morning hour, which you can find in the third chapter of Habakkuk. That is in verses 13 through 15. Verses 3 through 15. And in those verses, then we want to consider a captive people comforted with the remembrance of the power of God manifested in the salvation of His church. First, the promise of this salvation fulfilled. And then we will look especially at verse 9. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Second, the manner of this salvation. Then we want to see especially verse 13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Thus, these two verses, and in their whole context, from verse 13 through verse 15, the theme being a captive people comforted with the remembrance of the power of God manifested in the salvation of His church. First, the promise of this salvation fulfilled, and second, the manner thereof. Selah, that is, stop, consider, meditate. We have heard that before. We read this word, congregation, Selah, three times in this chapter. Actually, that word does not appear in the Bible outside of the Psalms, except in the book of Habakkuk. And it is only three times outside of the Psalms. Every one of them is in this chapter. Thus, we have heard the meaning of this, and that means that three times that Habakkuk is stopping, and that when he gives this song to the chief singer on my stringed instruments, that three times that he is asking that there is a pause, that there is a special meditation, that there is a special consideration. Why? That our thoughts may stop a moment, that they may rest a while upon what is being considered, and that it may sink down into our soul. That first pause, Selah, we have considered already. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran Selah. Thus, we know he is speaking to a captive people, or a people who will soon be in their captivity. And then he is bringing them back to what? He is bringing them back to that beginning in their life. That he is encouraging that captive people in the unchangeable covenant God of Israel. And now today, we wish to consider both the second pause and the third pause. That is, in both of our points. In verse 9, we read that again, Selah. And in verse 13, we read once again, Selah. Thus, verse 9, thy bow was made quite naked. According to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word, Selah, thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. Thy bow was made quite naked. Who is that? Thy. Well, Habakkuk, he is praying. Thus, he is praying unto God. There is actually a change in the previous verse, in verse 8, that goes before this. Then we see that it begins, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? That it is speaking, as it were, to the people about the Lord. Then we see that in the verses that are previous and his brightness. Before him went the pestilence, he stood and measured, and so on. And then in verse 8, and it begins that way, was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Then there is a change. Then it says, was thine anger against the rivers? Thus, not speaking anymore about the Lord, but unto the Lord. Do you know what that is also in your own life? That when you may meditate on the ways of God, that in that meditation, that you go from meditation unto supplication. So that is in the midst of this prayer of Habakkuk. Thus, thy bow was made quite naked, that is God. And that means that bow, that is God's bow. So Habakkuk, then he is portraying God here as a warrior. That is not strange. Why is that not strange? Because we read in God's word, throughout his word, of two kingdoms. And that is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And in the midst of this whole world, then there is nothing but a warfare between these two kingdoms. Thy bow was made quite naked. What does that mean? That means, boys and girls, that bow that had a when it was carried some kind of a covering on it, that it was put into some kind of a container, some kind of a sheath, then it was carried by that warrior. But now it speaks about that bow being made quite naked. That means that bow that is taken out of its sheath, that the covering that is taken off of that bow. And that is very significant. Why? Because that means that warrior, he is ready to do something. That means that warrior is now going to use this bow. Thy bow that was made quite naked. That is, that he may shoot this bow, this arrow. Thus, Habakkuk is speaking to this people in captivity. And when they are in captivity, what do they have to experience? Then they have to experience the power of their enemy. That they have no might to release themselves from that power of that enemy. And now Habakkuk, he is bringing that people, as it were, when they shall be lying in the captivity, and in all their helplessness against that power of the enemy, then he will bring them back again in their life. Not only to the beginning, no, but he will bring them back again to show them that this is not the first time. No, that this has happened before in their life. That they were before under that same power of a great enemy. That actually this is often the portion of that true church in this life here below. And then Habakkuk, he will meditate with this people upon the wonders of the Lord in their past life. The miracle that the Lord has performed in their life, in all their helplessness in their past. Verse 4, and his brightness was as the light, and he had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. The horn, that is the symbol of what? That is the symbol of power. We read that that horn is coming out of his hand, that is speaking about the power of God. Those hands, they are carried at our sides. Thus, he is speaking about power that is at the side of the Lord, that is surrounding, as it were, the Lord. And his brightness was as the light. Thus, he is speaking about the splendor of the sun as it is rising in the horizon. And then you may see the very first rays of that sun. And then he is comparing those first rays to the horns of the gazelle. And thus God, he says, he is clothed with the light as with a garment. And it is as if in that light, in that glory, that God is hiding, or is dwelling in that light, a very, very great power. And there was the hiding of his power. Oh, Moses' face that shone when he came down from God. That was such a glory that the children of Israel could not behold that face of Moses. And a power that is manifested. How is that manifested? How is that shown? How is that made known? A power that is made known in the warfare against the enemy. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. Literally, that says a burning heat and a blaze. So that plague, that pestilence, that is, as it were, personified, as if it were a person. And the one that is going before him, as it were, bearing his shield. The other one, as it were, coming behind him as his own servant in that warfare. Then we think of what the Lord has done in the life of the children of Israel in that land of Egypt. And how that the Lord, he only passed through, as it were, and all those plagues, they have gone before him. And the pestilences, they have followed after him. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. So he stood. There is that great warrior. And that warrior, he is now standing. So he is drawing near. He is appearing. He is, as it were stepping forth. He is taking that bow out of its covering. To do what? That is to smite the nations. And he measured the earth. Actually, that means to set the earth in a reeling motion. Oh, you do remember when that happened, boys and girls? When the Lord Jesus spoke one word, and then he set the enemy in a reeling motion when they fell in that garden backward unto the ground. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. Oh, when we look at those mountains, and then we can see them here, they are so far in the distance. But when we come to those mountains, then we feel something of how firm that those mountains are. They have stood there even from the beginning of the world. And in that sense, they are the everlasting mountains and hills. But what happens with the approaching of this warrior? Oh, that which no man can change, that which no man can shake. When that great warrior, he is stepping forth for the judgment of the nations, for the sake of his own church. Oh, then even those everlasting, firm, unmovable mountains, they begin to quake and to tremble before this warrior. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. So that is representing all the nations that are round about the children of Israel. How that they are thrown into a fear. We can read that was the promise of the Lord. And then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall come upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord. Till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Or what we read of the Gibeonites when the children of Israel came into that land. Then they testified unto Joshua and unto the elders of the people how fearful that they were. Think of Rahab. Then she is testifying also of the great fear which has gripped that whole city. When they have heard how that the Lord, as that great warrior, was traveling in the forefront of his people, Cushan. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation, the wrath of God, kindled against the sea, kindled against the rivers, in the first place the Red Sea, that Jordan River, but actually it is speaking about so much more, not just one specific sea, one specific river, but in a more general way, We would say the world, see? So describing God as the judge of the world, the judge of all the nations, who will smite the rivers on behalf of his people, who will break through every single barrier, for whom nothing can stand in the way, for whom every stronghold that will just crumble before him. Thy bow was made quite naked, or taken out of its wrappings, uncovered, when he came as that man of war on behalf of his people that no enemy could stand before. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. According, what does that mean? That means that the Lord has spoken about this. And then we know, boys and girls, when we will go back, and when we will see the father of these tribes, and we will see Abraham, and the Lord is appearing to him, and he tells Abraham that he may know of a surety that his children will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and that they shall serve them for 400 years. And also that nation, the Lord, he himself will judge, and afterward they shall come out. Then it is the oath that the Lord has made unto Abraham. The oaths, actually, because it is an oath that he has confirmed unto the children of Abraham. So that Jacob, then he must not fear to go down into that land of Egypt. Because the Lord says, I will surely bring thee up again. Then the Lord has spoken also unto Moses, and has said unto him the way that the Lord would bring that people up. If I wet my glittering sword, and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies, and will reward them that hate me. And I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain of the captives, from the beginning of the revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful to his land and to his people. Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Congregation, Israel, when they were in that land of captivity, they were not a people that were strangers of the might and of the power of God in their life. We would say they were not children in grace, no. But it was a people who have experienced already so much in their life. It is a people who have one time rejoiced in the way of deliverance. It is a people who have one time felt and experienced the might and the power of God against all of their enemies, so that there was not one enemy left. That was a people that knew what it was to sink away under that goodness of the Lord in keeping his oath which he had sworn unto their father. And yet, they have brought themselves into a condition wherein they needed to be reminded of those wonders of the Lord. Why? Because there was an enemy again. Again. That was a new enemy. And the people, they were powerless under that enemy. They needed to be delivered again. They felt themselves just as weak, just as helpless that they had been in that land of Egypt. Captives. And what can now keep that people from despair other than remembering what the works of the Lord were in their life? And the power of God against that former enemy. And not only so, but how that the Lord has delivered them. That is our second thought. Then we go to verse 13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Oh, for whom was it that the Lord did make war? That was for his church. That was for his own people. And he has trampled the nations, not every one of them, no, but those nations which were hostile to his own church. And by whom does he do this? Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. That is, with or by thine anointed. So the Lord is using means. Then he has raised up princes. He has raised up rulers. He has raised up kings, a leader that may go before the children of Israel to be, as it were, at their head, an anointed one. And now this anointed, that does not speak about individual kings or leaders, but that speaks in a special way about the Davidic kingship. Because there was in that kingship of David a promise. Thus, this language that is prophetic, that speaks about the Messiah, that speaks about especially the anointed one who was to come, of whom David and those that followed in that line of David, they were a type of that anointed one, even for salvation with thine anointed. But the Lord Jesus, he is here distinguished from God. That is, God in general. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then there is a distinction here between Christ and God. That means here, the Lord Jesus is viewed in his office of mediator. That is, in his office as the Savior of his children. Because, actually, in the original language here, then it is pointing to Christ himself as being the object of divine help. That is, not only the people, but also Christ. That is, that warrior, that leader that was to go before his church as the object of the divine help. Read Psalm 22 about the Lord Jesus Christ and others. How, boys and girls, did David receive the victory over all the enemies so that there was peace? That was only with the help of the Lord. And David was a type
of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the Lord Jesus was also promised help from his Father. That is, in his human nature, that he is not promised the help of men, no, but that in that eternal covenant of peace, then when the Lord Jesus has agreed to go forward for the salvation of his people, to become a human being, to take on him the nature of man, to suffer at that eternal wrath of God for his church, oh, then he is promised also that help from his Father. Where do you see that? Oh, we see him in the garden. And there, that human nature of Christ that is so pressed sore, that his soul also was under that grievous suffering. And there, what do we read? That an angel was sent from heaven to strengthen the Lord Jesus. And thus, this is prophetic. That is speaking about the future and a great comfort to those people who are lying in captivity. Why? Because they experience day by day, year after year, what? The power of the enemy. The power of that enemy. And what do they hear from the mouth of Habakkuk? That is a promise of a Messiah. That is a promise of deliverance. And that deliverer, he is going to receive help from heaven. That means that deliverance cannot fail. And thus, that speaks about the person who shall come. But we also read about the manner in that same verse. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Speaks about three things: the head, the foundation, and the neck. Actually, it is speaking about a house. The head being the top portion, the gable. Then the foundation, of course, that is the lower portion. And then you have the neck, that part that is in between. So thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation all the way to the bottom unto the neck. That is the whole thing. What is the idea? That is the destruction of the wicked that is going to be from above and from below at the same time. And when it comes, that it is going to be for the complete destruction of that whole house of that wicked. And now to give an example of this, then we read that also in verse 10, and the prophet goes back to the flood. When he is speaking to the people in captivity, and he says, remember what the Lord has done. From above and from below, the mountains saw thee, in verse 10, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. What happened in the flood? Well, then the Lord broke the bands of heaven, that the waters gushed down from below. But at the same time, he opened up the fountains of the deep that was for the destruction of the wicked. And we see that in verse 11 and 12 again. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in thine anger. When did that happen? You know that, boys and girls. When the sun and the moon, they stood still. Yes, that was in the days of Joshua. And who fought for his people? That was the Lord. And the destruction that took place upon the earth, when the Lord helped the armies of Joshua, yes, but it also took place from above. And when the Lord showed who was fighting for his people, and when he made the sun and the moon to stand still for the sake of his people in the heavens, then that enemy that cannot possibly stand under such a might, under such a power of that Almighty God, thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. Or who struck through the head, boys and girls? Oh, you say that was Jill. Jill, she has taken that nail and she has struck it through the head of Sisera. Not only was it his own head, but he was the head of that people, that enemy, the leader. And then there is another very interesting thought in this. Because it says here, his staves, who are they? They are the staves of the enemies themselves. That is, that thought comes through that the Lord is going to destroy the enemy with their own devices against the people of God. All the weapons of the enemy, they are like staves. They are like harmless. And they can only beat them with it as you beat a dog. But the Lord is going to take those staves and he is going to strike that enemy through to destroy them with their own staves. And how often do we not read that? And we read about Gideon and the Midianites. We read about Saul and the Philistines. And what do we read? How that the Lord, he has set every man's hand against his brother. How did the Lord destroy the Moab and Ammon when they came against Jehoshaphat? Oh, then we read exactly the same thing. The Lord says, you do not need to fight in this battle. No, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then everyone, they helped to destroy one another. And now we can read of the last battle on the earth. Do you know when that will be? The Bible speaks about the last battle on the earth between those two kingdoms. That is, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. When all the nations, they shall gather against that kingdom of God. And then we read how Ezekiel, he is speaking about that battle of Gog and Magog. And that enemy, they shall be completely destroyed. How? Ezekiel writes of it. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. The Lord, he will set every man's sword so that the enemy that will destroy itself before that people of the Lord. But so far the explanation. Let us conclude with application after we sing Psalter 243. 243.
Stanzas 1 through 4 and 15. 1 through 4 and 15 of 243 in vision. To his saints God spake. From out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. 1 through 4 and 15 of 243. Congregation, we realize we are way over time again. And it is not our intention to make these services longer. But we hope that you are willing to listen just a few minutes more, because we all have a soul. And we will try in the future a little harder to bring it within the time. Selah. Selah. That is, stop. Meditate. Consider. And that is to a people who are lying in captivity. People that have to experience the power of the devil, the power of the enemy, the power of Satan in your life. Last time, then we see how that the Lord, he has brought that people back to the beginning. And what a comfort that can be unto that true church of God, that there ever was a beginning. But now so often that they have to question, was it actually a beginning? Was it actually from the Lord? And therefore, we also have to be so careful. And why? Because there was with Pilgrim, when he went out of that city of destruction, also a pliable. And those two men went out. A pliable congregation never reached the wicked gate. Thus he went out, but he never entered in. It was only for a little time. Thus, it seems, when we see those two men traveling, it seems like there is a beginning. But it was not for Pliable. And we can stand and see them. And we can hear them speak. And we can see no difference. But there was such a great difference for Pliable that was only, that was only from human persuasion that he is persuaded to go along. Habakkuk, when he is speaking to God's church in their captivity, is speaking to them about more than a beginning. He is causing them to remember something else that took place in their life that they cannot deny. And what was that? It was a time that they may experience also the deliverance. That was the deliverance of the Lord from all of their enemies. When they experienced the power of God over all their enemies. We cannot rest short of this. Our fathers, they have said that until we may know something of that deliverance, it can still go two ways yet, as we see, Christian and Pliable. There remains one foundation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in that one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. What do our instructors of the catechism say?
They say that that is our only comfort in life and in death, to know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Does that mean that only those have comfort who know that full assurance of their faith? Who know that their sins are forgiven? Who are justified in the court of their conscience? No. What was that name of that man that has received pilgrim at that gate? Do you know that, boys and girls? What was the name of that man? You read that book beside your Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. Read it carefully. What was the name of that man? That name was Goodwill. And that pilgrim may come to that gate. Oh, what is that gate? Oh, that is the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. There was something revealed to him there. Then there was a way open for that man. When he came to that wicked gate, and there he experienced something from God. What was that? That was the goodwill of God in Jesus Christ to open a door for a lost sinner, as he experienced himself to be. Goodwill. The goodwill of God. That is what is experienced in the life of the people, in the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he then delivered of his burden? No. He asked goodwill. Can you take off this burden from my back? Oh, the guilt of my sin. Show that door that there is a way open also for me. But the guilt that still presses me sore, that sin that still lays upon me, I cannot stand before the judgment seat of God, though I have seen that there is a way. And what did he answer him? No. He says, you must be content to bear it until you come to that place of deliverance. There, he said, it is going to fall off all by itself. Thus, the burden on his back, the guilt of sin, and yet what? Oh, we read that man, he rejoiced. I rejoice and tremble, he says. And what was said to that man? It was said to him, there is set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Was that the final deliverance? No. There was so much for that man he still had to experience upon this way. But when once the Lord opens that door to a wretched and sinful creature, when once the Lord reveals himself to his people, there is no going back again. It is the way of free and sovereign grace over against that way of the law. Oh, it is the way of life over against that way of death. And now, when that way goes open, in all our impossibility, oh, that people can never forget that day, that will remain with them the rest of their life. They may not know that day the Lord converted them, no, but they will know when the Lord appeared and showed unto them that there is a way outside of yourself. And yet, even to that people, how low that life of grace can come. That people who have seen that way of free and sovereign grace, that they have to experience again the power of the enemy in their life. And what is now the greatest enemy, young people, of the true church of God? It is a triple-headed enemy. That is sin. That is Satan. That is the world. And they come again under the power of that enemy so that they cannot see how it is possible that they can be saved anymore. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That is, from this body of sin. Cannot see it. Oh, it is one thing to sit and listen to the complaints of God's people. Maybe you get tired of that, young people. Maybe you condemn them for it. You say, oh, I'd rather go elsewhere because, well, they are much more a rejoicing people. Is that now the life of God's people? Oh, one thing to condemn them, another thing to experience it. What the power of that enemy is. He is so strong. And the people, they are so weak in themselves. Oh, that law of sin that is in their members. And Paul, he may be given to rise up above it. To say, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But now there is a people. Oh, they often hardly dare to come even to that place of the father of the lunatic. And to whisper, oh Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Does the Lord know there are those people? Oh, people of the Lord, that was the work of Habakkuk. What was the work of Habakkuk? Oh, that was to bring them back in their life. Why? For the increase of that exercise of faith when they were under the power of that enemy. Oh, there was a time, was there not, that you felt also that power of the Lord. Oh, the power that was in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord opened it to you, and when he showed you how that Son of God, that he has given himself as a sacrifice also for your own sin. Oh, did you not feel then that power? Where was your sin in that day? Oh, then you could not find one sin anymore. Then you say it was all cast into the sea. It was cast behind that back of God. What does David said? He says, my sin that is covered. Oh, what do you experience? Oh, there where sin abounded, there grace that in much more abound. That is the power of God over all that power of the enemy that thought that it would bring you into the grave and into that eternal destruction. What did Israel experience? Oh, when the Lord baptized them in that sea. Oh, that blessed picture of that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they saw every one of their enemies dead upon the seashore. What does John say? He says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Or is that not? Does that not lie, people of the Lord, also in the experience of your life? May you not say that you also may know something of that power. When God has come, when he has unsheathed the bow, and when he has destroyed sin in the work of his only begotten Son, and that you may view it, and that you may see it to the rejoicing of your own soul. O congregation, are there those in our midst that are not a complete stranger of that power? May you ever experience this May you ever speak of this. May you ever sing of this. And now he that has shown unto you his wonders, he that has shown unto you his power, when today you must experience how powerful that enemy of sin is, and when you have to experience that you are taken under that captivity and that you are not able to fight against that great enemy, oh, will he not return, who has given you to experience that power in the past, when his bow that was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribe, even of his own word, will he not return? Or will he not come back upon that oath again? Or that power of sin, that may be greater than your power, but is that greater than his power? Is there not balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? Or has he not already gained the victory over death, over hell, and the grave, and revealed it unto you for the comfort of his soul? May the Lord comfort his afflicted and his own poor people and give them to trust in that name of the Lord. But congregation, we have to close. By nature, we have no need of that warrior. How is it? Why don't we need that warrior to go before us? Because we have no warfare. We have no battle. Sin is not an enemy. How is that? Sin an enemy? Is the world an enemy? Are you an enemy to yourself? Or by nature, it is a friend. Then it is not a captivity. No, that is our freedom. Is that true, young people? Why then do you need someone to fight for you? Or what does that mean? If that never changes, he is either congregation for us or against us, and we are either for him or against him. Cannot be otherwise. And when he comes not for our aid one day, oh, then he will come for our destruction. Then we have heard from step to step how great is the destruction of that enemy. Oh, seek his face, that you may be reconciled unto him, and that he may not come one day against us, but that he may come for our aid. Amen. O Lord, forgive all that was sinful and amiss. Bless thy word. Lord, bring it in our hearts. We cannot give it. May thou remember this our flock. We must go away from them the rest of this day. Lord, bless this thy word. Help him who must lead in this afternoon. And wilt thou go before us, convert us, Lord. And as that great warrior, wilt thou bind that strong man Satan who has us captive by nature and cast him out. Remember thy people, forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 362. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3. 1 and 3. From out the depths
I cry, O Lord, to Thee, Lord, hear my call. I love Thee, Lord, for Thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If Thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at Thy right hand. 1 and 3 of Psalter 362. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing. Thank you.